The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton for the stay.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Who's and what's and why's and wherefores. Here you'll find your whatnots and therefores. So come on along, let's find out what's going on. Where's and when's and who's and what's it's. No matter what your taste, you can trust it's the place where you can find all your new Disney news. Where's and when's and who's and what's it's. No matter what you taste, you can trust it's the place where you can find all your new Disney news.
Welcome to the Sweet Spot Current Events Edition as of June 24th, 2024. My name is Lynn, your host, and Ken's my co-host, and Ken will be with us a little bit later. But we are both former Disneyland Custodio cast members, and we talk Disneyland. And we also host the number one Disneyland podcast, hosted by two former Disneyland custodians. And also, we have two books out, Queening the Kingdom. They have two different subtitles. You can get both of those books on paperback on Amazon.com. You can also get them where digital books are found, like Kindle. And you can also get both on audio. We have the audiobooks. And also, if you want an autographed copy, we only have the second book at our website, thesweetspot.com, but they're signed by both of us. And also, I want to mention our Patreon. If you want to help support the show, you can go to patreon.com, and search The Sweet Spot, or you can go to thesweetspot.com and look for the Patreon link. And you get some cool perks. You can get to join us on our current events live, like we've done tonight, as we recorded this. And you get to join in the chat room and listen as we record live. And also you get all the episodes a little bit earlier than everyone else. And you get the episodes ad-free. I wanted to mention that too. And also you get one bonus episode delivered to you once a month that we record specifically for the Patreon. So you can join in. That's all that for $5 or more per month. And we really appreciate your help. All right. Also, we'll be at D23, the Ultimate Disney Fan Event. And that will be August 9th, 10th, 11th. And we'll be at the Laughing Place booth periodically throughout the weekend. Each day will be a few hours each day. And we'll announce those times as we get closer. So if you're planning on going, we'd love to see you out there. I also wanted to mention that we have a listener that had sent us a letter. Well, like through his mom. And it just touched us, and we really appreciated it. And wanted to send a shout out to Ezekiel, and wanted to thank you so much for your kind words. And wow, you've listened to all our episodes. I cannot believe that. That is a lot of episodes, because we had many episodes, and we have all the current events, which I don't number. And right now we're at 386, but those are the numbered ones. So if you're to add all those other episodes, it's well into the 400s. So What an accomplishment. So thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate you and hope you enjoy this one. All right, well, let's get moving. But before we get into the current events, we're going to hear from Eric over at the D180.
Hello, everyone. This is Eric Johnson with Consi Ears, and welcome to the D180. While Ken and Lynn cover all things Disneyland, in the D180 we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe, and we do it in 180 seconds. Let's jump right in. We begin this week at Walt Disney World, where an awful lot of summer surprises seem ready to pop. First up is the return of the Country Bear Musical Jamboree, one of my all-time favorites. July 17th marks the return of the whole Bear crew, new and improved. These folks have new outfits and presumably a thorough fur shampooing to get ready for their new act. The songs pay tribute to Disney songs, both classic and new, using a style that would feel right at home in Nashville. Check them out on your next trip to Frontierland in the Magic Kingdom. Big news is coming to Disney's Hollywood Studios, too. A certain theater has remained empty since 2020, leaving little to do in the park's animation courtyard aside from the Disney Junior Dance Party and some Star Wars character greets. The Voyage of the Little Mermaid ran from 1992 into 2020 and delighted all with its combo of puppetry, live action, and video. Sometime this fall, 2024, The Little Mermaid, a musical adventure, is returning to Hollywood Studios. The new show promises to combine some elements of the original production with brand new puppets and even more songs from the movie. It's great to have more options to see in the park, especially something that everybody enjoyed so much in its original form. Fans of The Lion King will have a lot to love in Disney's Animal Kingdom this summer, now through September 6th. Holy cow, they really fired up the merch and treats machines for this one. All around the park, find snacks from simple sugar cookies decorated like Simba's paw to the magnificent passion fruit mango cheesecake with coconut lime crust and a little chocolate Rafiki on top. At Tiffin's restaurant, there's a squash banana shake and a dessert made with Kenyan coffee mousse and banana caramel sauce. For more refreshing fare, seek out Simba's mango slushy topped with grenadine and gummy grubs or the Zazu ice cream sandwich. Yum! Where's the merch, I hear you crying? How about a new Pumbaa popcorn bucket, a Hakuna Matata ear band, sweatshirts, hoodies, fanny packs, and a new Magic Band Plus featuring Simba and his pals? Wear your Magic Band Plus at the Festival of the Lion King show and experience the new lights and haptic effects throughout the show. Ask our concierge experts about the discounts available on Walt Disney World rooms this summer, coming up to 30% off. There's also another option for a free dining plan for your family. Free is good, right? Oh yeah, and you astute listeners probably already know that Tiana's Bayou Adventure opens real soon on June 28th. I spoke last time about National Geographic Expeditions. I'm short on time, but let me introduce you to some new and exciting possibilities for the more adventurous crowd. Private tours. You've heard about the Around the World private jet tours, but have you heard about their private trips to natural and cultural destinations around the world? Nat Geo offers multiple trips in 2025 to Australia, Africa, Asia, and plenty other destinations. Maybe next time. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the rest of the Disney universe. If you'd like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over. Visit the social media and websites of both the Sweep Spot and Consi Ears. Then reach out to Lynn, your personal travel planner. He looks forward to planning something special for you and your family. For Consi Ears, I'm Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Looking to go to Disneyland Resort in California, Walt Disney World Resort in Florida, Aulani in Hawaii, or on a Disney cruise, or Adventures by Disney Vacation, I am here to help you book the best vacation possible, and my expertise and services won't cost you anything extra. Disney pays me, not you. As a perk by booking a package with me, I can also book your dining reservations, park reservations, tours, shuttles, and more. Let me do the hard work while you get excited about your upcoming Disney vacation. I can also book Universal Studios trips as well. Contact me at lbarron, that's LBARRON, at concierge.com, that's concierge.com, or thesweepspot@gmail.com.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
Now we're going to have the current events. Ken, what do you have for us?
Oh, Lynn, I've got a few things. Our long national nightmare is almost over. Yes, according to the Orange County Register, Brady McDonald, of course, the Haunted Mansion will return to Disneyland in time for Halloween season. See, and here we thought it might be before Halloween season, but it's kind of hard because the Halloween season starts like in July now. As it says here, Haunted Mansion Holiday will return by August 23rd in time for the Halloween time season at Disneyland. The holiday overlay version of the classic dark ride will have a virtual queue when the attraction returns from an extensive overhaul. Disneyland promises the Haunted Mansion dining room scene will once again feature a new ghoulish gingerbread house. I know you were worried about that, so worry no more. It will have the gingerbread house. The Haunted Mansion closed in January for an extended renovation of the outdoor queue area that will add a new accessibility elevator for wheelchair users exiting the ride and a new retail shop themed as Madame Leota's Carriage House at the attraction's exit. So, Lynn, what do you think? I guess they're not going to bring back normal classic mansion.
Makes sense.
I wonder if they left everything in there or if they took it down, you know.
I imagine they left it in, but they may have had this plan all along and we're just hearing about it. But the thing that surprised me was the virtual queue. Now, if people don't know what that is, they did that when Rise of Resistance opened. And I know they've used it in other things too, but they do it for World of Color still. But Rise of Resistance. So what would happen is, and I don't know what it will be like for this, but there was two different times. Actually, when it first started, they only had the one, but it's two different times. I think it was 7 a.m. and 1 p.m., I think, or 12.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and so you have to get on your phone, and it's very stressful, but especially we had driven from Utah to go on Rise of Resistance, and I had a young teen with me at the time. Come on, Dad, you know, cheering me on. I'm like, oh no, you know. So but yeah, the virtual queue is you get on your phone and you have to at this exact time and it'll tell you a time to come back. And well, actually it gave you a number. So they gave you like group 100 and then they would say group 100, you know, is ready, and then you have so much time to get there and return back. But so I don't know how they're going to exact do it, but it is a return time. Now I imagine if they're not going to have a standby, I'm wondering if they're not doing that because maybe the queue won't be all the way ready.
Right. They won't have it done. So maybe they, maybe that's why they're doing it.
And the other thing is, I wonder if they do the paid lightning lane, you know, where you pay so much more extra, whatever it is. To like, if you couldn't get a virtual queue, you can pay for it. I don't know if they'll do that, but that was interesting. I was very surprised they did that. It is very popular though, so what do you guys think about that?
Yeah, we've got our chat room participants who are our Patreon supporters. They join our live chat room and they talk amongst themselves. They come up with solutions to the world problems. Mm-hmm. And they also comment on the program, and we will sometimes incorporate those comments into the podcast. Usually we just make them up, though. No, that's not true. it's fun in the chat room.
It is. Let me read some of the comments that are appropriate. Michael said, I take it they won't have the new full exterior done by then. And that's kind of what we were saying too. That's what we guess. I don't know. Christine said, weird that we will have to do the virtual fight for Haunted Mansion. Hopefully it will be much easier this time. True. And I also think that Rise Resistance closed earlier. I remember it was, maybe not, but I know that it wouldn't stay open all the way to midnight. At least they would try not to. They had to have time to recharge the vehicles overnight.
Yeah, maintenance and stuff, yeah.
Keith said that means that part of the park will be closed all summer. That's true.
Yeah, that's true. Summer is no longer what it used to be. We'll cover a little bit of that in a few minutes here.
Michael said, I could never get those virtual queues. I had to hand my phone to an offspring who nailed it every time. Yeah,
you got to give it to the younger, you know, you've got these little babies these infants are not even crawling yet. And they'll know how to do it.
Yeah, so. I could do it. It was just nerve wracking. Christine said she's pretty good at it. The queue, you know, getting the virtual queue. Mike Park said, I wouldn't be surprised if getting an elevator in took all of the time. That's true. That's a big ordeal. Right. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting. I'm excited that they mentioned it as part of the upcoming Halloween event. So it kind of, I know some people are worried that maybe it wouldn't come back until later in the Halloween season. But I think that this kind of, I hope, because it's supposed to start end of August, I think, is the Halloween season starting. The end of June? No, I mean the end of August. Every year it's just,
it creeps up.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to the next thing, and you can comment.
All right. Well, why don't you take this next one? I'm all tuckered out.
All right. I will. This is from the OC Register from Brady McDonald from June 20th. It says, how to get tickets to Disneyland's Oogie Boogie Bash next week. Tickets for the After Hours separate admission event go on sale to Inspire Magic Key holders on Tuesday the 25th, all Magic Key holders on Wednesday the 26th, and to the general public on Thursday the 27th at Disneyland.com/Oogie Boogie Bash. The online ticket window waiting room will open at approximately 8:45 a.m. with sales starting no earlier than 9 a.m. So they always, I noticed they've been saying that a lot lately for these no earlier. So
yeah, that would be Pacific time for
Pacific time, Disneyland time. Yeah, ticket buyers waiting in line in the online queue can once again get notified by email when it's their turn to buy tickets by using the Notify Me option. Oogie Boogie Bash 2024 will run on 27 select nights from August 25th through October 31st at Disney California Adventure.
Wow.
All right. Okay. So
there's a lot. It's a very popular event. It's hard to get sometimes, but they did add more dates this year. It's starting earlier. So I hope that, you know, everyone that wants to go can get a ticket to go. I know that little plug for me, but, you know, if you book a package with me and I can try to get those for you. Concierge actually has a system where may not be me that gets them, but we all kind of try, and then we try to help each other out and get them for all of our clients. So we've had very good success rates in the past. No guarantees. We always say that, no guarantees, but We have had good success rates. So that is a perk that what we do, you know, besides dining, and none of this cost extra to you. We just do it. So anyways, a little small plug, but so anyhow, very popular event. Kenneth, if you were to go, does this sound like something you would be interested in ever?
Yeah, this, you know, it sounds like a lot of fun. And there's a reason why it's so popular.
Yeah.
It's a nice alternative to, you know, they leave the stuff that's more PG-13, you know, to the other parks, the Knott's and Universal and Magic Mountain.
They try to scare you. Yeah.
And this is more of a family thing, you know. And I'm glad that they found a hit, you know. I mean, it's funny because that movie wasn't, you know, it wasn't like it was a blockbuster.
No,
I liked it when it came out in the theaters. I saw it because
I did too. Yeah,
I love stop motion animation done well, and so it wasn't a blockbuster, but it's look at what it's resulted in. The Haunted Mansion that, you know, the overlay they've been doing for 20 years, you know, and the Oogie Boogie Bash. So they've gotten a lot of mileage out of that. So it's an example of something that a movie or a TV show doesn't have to be a blockbuster to be worthwhile. And you can monetize it effectively in other parts of the company. If it's got interesting characters, interesting elements to it, settings and stuff like that, then and that's what they're doing with the Nightmare Before Christmas. So that's where Oogie Boogie comes from, you know.
That's just been great. It's like had this resurgence, and they've the merchandise is just boomed. I mean, just out of control, right? I mean, it's just everything. You could find almost anything in a Nightmare Before Christmas merchandise. So yeah, I enjoy it too, and the songs are like classics to our here in our house around that time. So I look forward to being able to see more of this. I don't know if I'll go to this. This is probably not. It's just tough because if I were more local, this would probably be something I would do. But because when we go down, and we will be down during this time, but it's just not something we want to take out of our time to do. But I hear great things. So, yeah.
I wonder what our chat room people have to say about it. And by the way, all these stories will be available on the current events portion of thesweepspot.com. That's our official website. Don't fall for imitators. And we will have all the stories posted there, so you can click through and get the entire story if you'd like.
Yeah. They don't really care about it. No, they're just asking each other, you know, how are you going to go? So that's good. They're giving the pass holder, you know, the magic key holders, I'll always call it a pass holder, but you know, the opportunity to get them first. My only thing is I hope that, because they did this with D23, is that they had like the Visa card holders and everything, and then the D23 gold members, and then by the time it got to the public, they were pretty much sold out of like Saturday and a lot of the Fridays and stuff. So which seemed kind of odd. You'd think you'd want to, they're getting the first chance, but not all of them. But all right, let's move on from this.
All right. Well, Din Tai Fung sets soft opening date for Downtown Disney. And that's a Brady McDonald story from the Register. That's from June 21st. You know, I was just at Downtown Disney the other day. Took my daughter there, and we got beignets and frozen mint julep. At least she got a frozen mint julep. Yeah, that was just to celebrate something. Disneyland diners hungry for the legendary Shanghai style soup dumplings that dribble down your chin can now make reservations for Din Tai Fung to open at Downtown Disney, but they better hurry if they want to get a table. The Michelin awarded restaurant from Taiwan will soft open on Monday, June 24th. Ding, ding, ding. The day that we're releasing this, at the outdoor shopping mall next door to Disneyland and DCA. An official grand opening will be held in July. Reservations for Din Tai Fung at Downtown Disney have already been snapped up for June 24th and are disappearing fast for Friday, June 28th, but there are still spots available for June 25th through the 27th. Well, as of publication of that story anyway, doesn't mean they still are, but you know, I guess you can call and find out. The official Disney Parks blog is covering that as well. Plus the Disney Parks blog goes into a little bit more about the rest of Downtown Disney. As it says here, the new restaurant's exterior is a dramatic contemporary take on a traditional Chinese pavilion rooftop structure. A suspended beaded installation over the circular central bar greets guests upon entering the restaurant, with traditional style Chinese pendants softly illuminating the space. An expo kitchen will serve as a backdrop, inviting guests to witness the artistry behind the dumpling making process firsthand. So go see the dumplings. MiceChat.com actually has a story on that as well, if you want to catch that. Natalie Kipper has that, and it, you know, Din Tai Fung opening set for Downtown Disney. So it's happening, and there's still musical chairs going on at Downtown Disney, which is what the official parks blog gets into. So it's always changing there.
Yeah, for sure, man. I like the outside of the building, the pic photos I've seen, everything. It really is themed well, and it's good to have more restaurants, more options down there. I don't know, I've heard good things of this restaurant. I've never been able to try this. They have other locations, other places, but I've never been able to. I've never heard of it till this. Not this, like tonight, but since they announced they were coming to the Downtown Disney. So, yeah, it should be good. Let me look in the chat room. It says, Christine said, looks good. Don't know if I will ever get there. Banana Pudding says, sounds like an interesting dining experience, but I'm not in SoCal, so I'm only at Disneyland once or twice a year. Yeah. We'll have to look into that as one of our dining options in the future when we go. All right. Let's see. Moving on here. Okay. This one is from Laughing Place, from Marshall Knight on June 19th. It says, lawsuit filed against Disney over canceled Lake Nona campus. So that's in Florida. It says, a lawsuit has been filed by numerous workers who sold their homes in California and moved to Central Florida all for nothing. Back in 2021, former CEO Bob Chapek and Josh D'Amaro announced plans to move over 2,000 California employees to a new hub in Lake Nona. Employees are angry at the decision, but many were prepared and followed through to make the move. The plan was canceled after Bob Iger returned as CEO. Yeah, that, you know what, that doesn't surprise me that there's a lawsuit, because that was one of the things I thought about when they canceled it. What about those people that either had already moved or was planning on moving and had, you know, plans to move and everything? I mean, I know these sort of things just, you know, they can happen anywhere, but it's just, unfortunate.
Yeah. It's, you know, weren't there people that left or were laid off in anticipation of the move? You know,
yes,
people
are
like,
too.
No, I'm going to stay in California. And I mean, I'm surprised. Now, Lake Nona is not at Disney World, but
nearby.
I'm surprised they hadn't shifted more of their people to the Walt Disney World property. Mm-hmm. I mean, you build some office buildings there. I would think there have to be some business advantages to that. Of course, the one big caveat to all of that is that you still have the heart of the movie and theme park design industries here. And by
California.
Here, I mean Southern California. I mean, you know, specifically the area around Hollywood, the San Fernando Valley, Burbank, Glendale. It's just, you know, granted, you know, the more people you had working remotely, that also made a difference. But if all the people are here, including the talent, like, oh, I shouldn't use the word talent, above the line talent, I guess I would say, the below the line is, you know, all the production mm-hmm. staff. That's all here, you know, all the side industries that literally cater to mm-hmm. the industry are here. And so that's the one thing that, you know, because otherwise you figure Disney's got all this property. Why don't they build facilities there? And the cost of living is a little less expensive. You know, the cost of doing business can be less expensive. But that's not getting into the political issues. There were the Lake Nona thing was canceled. There was a lot of things going on politically at that time.
Yeah.
And so, but we don't need to get into all that. But it's, this affects Disneyland in the sense that you were going to have a lot of the design staff, a lot of Imagineering was going to move over to Florida. Whereas traditionally what's happened is Disneyland has just been, you know, down the freeway from Imagineering. They can go down and check things out. Now, granted, with traffic, it can take several days, but
several days.
It's just right there. So yeah. I wonder if anyone in the chat room has anything to say about this. This is just a lawsuit, another lawsuit that's on Disney's hands, you know?
Yeah, Christine just said this lawsuit is to be expected. Of course, and it's unfortunate because I think Disney loses out on this, not just maybe money, but the talent. You know, like you'd said, that some people left the company because they didn't want to move to Florida. And they've gone to other companies, you know, to work and bring their talent there to those companies. So that's unfortunate, but definitely expected. I hope that the outcome is good for everyone and it works out.
Yeah, I wouldn't want somebody to be put in a bad situation because, you know, you think about it, you know, the financial hardship of all of that. So, yeah, I can understand. Speaking of lawsuits, here's another story from Brittany McDonald. How Disneyland pass holders can get their share of the $9.5 million Magic Key settlement. Now, we've talked about this all throughout the progress of this story. Disneyland annual pass holders can finally get their share of the $9.5 million class action lawsuit that found the Anaheim theme park misled and deceived its most loyal fans by artificially limiting capacity and restricting reservations. Disneyland has sent email notices to eligible pass holders who are entitled to a payment of $65.67 from the Dream Key settlement. pass holders received a settlement email have until September 12th to claim their digital payment via Venmo, PayPal, or direct deposit into their banking account, which may take up to 72 hours to appear in the account. Dream key holders can also opt to get paid by a check through snail mail, which takes 6 to 10 weeks. Wow. Pass holders who did not opt for digital payment should automatically receive a check at their last known mailing address. The settlement includes everyone who purchased a Disneyland Dream Key between August 25th, 2021 and October 25th, 2021. Pass holders can get more information at the Dream Key Settlement website by calling toll-free at 877-894-4029 or emailing info@dreamkeysettlement.com.
They have their own website for that
kind of money. I mean, yeah. But it says here, the biggest winners in the $9.5 million Magic Key class action lawsuit weren't Disneyland annual pass holders, but rather the plaintiff, the settlement administration firm, and the lawyers. Of course, that's how it always works. Why didn't I follow in my dad's footsteps and become a lawyer? I don't know. Magic Key pass holders get about $7 million of the $9.5 million settlement. The other $2.5 million will go to fees related to the case. Yes, the lawyer, mostly the lawyer's fees. Yes. So, what do you think, Lynn?
Well, I'm glad it's coming to a close. You know, we've been talking about this for, seems like, a couple of years now. So,
yeah.
Hopefully everyone's getting what they need out of this. $65.67. That's interesting, because in the comment section here, or in our chat,
can you even park two vehicles right now? What are they saying in the
oh, sorry, chat? I was just trying to find the
To distract you.
No, trying to find where we left off here. That's fine.
But that's the way it always is with class action suits.
Oh, just send them a churro, Michael said.
There you go.
At least two churros. Just Christine said. The lawyers get a churro each. So, yeah. Interesting, but glad it's over with. And Disney is definitely, I've noticed, wording things very specific. I mean, they always have, but especially with the annual passes, I've noticed when I go to renew mine that they're very specific on everything and make things very clear. So, yeah.
That's why they, you know, that's why, like, just about every entry of the official Disney Parks blog, I will have like a lot of, you know, legalese in it. Totally, completely unrelated to the previous story. Disneyland cuts back on entertainment during peak summer season.
Interesting.
This is the is it really the peak season anymore? But it's Orange County Register story, Brittany McDonald, and as he says, Disney California Adventure is trimming schedules in July for the Warriors of Wakanda in Avengers Campus and the citizens of Buena Vista Street along the park's main entrance promenade. DCA continually evaluates entertainment offerings and makes adjustments, according to Disneyland officials. That's boilerplate language they always use whenever, you know, anything goes on. Warriors of Wakanda, the Disciples of the Dora Milaje. I don't know. Sorry, folks, if I'm butchering that. Features the Black Panther's bodyguards offering strength and skill training sessions to visitors in the Marvel-themed land. The citizens of Buena Vista Street include a police officer, bike messenger, and the mayor dressed in period costumes who interact with visitors and bring the entry promenade's 1920s Los Angeles theme to life. The latest entertainment cutbacks come on the heels of the cancellation of Doctor Strange, Mysteries of the Mystic Arts in Avengers Campus, and the Club Pixar dance shows during the middle of Pixar Fest at DCA. So, Lynn, some entertainment cutbacks. I'm sure it has nothing to do with lawsuit payments or anything like that. So, or union activity, for that matter. But yeah, anyway.
Right. I know I mentioned that last time, that if this might have had something to do with the unions and things that they're, you know, and I still think it's a combination of that. And it just seems like the entertainment hasn't been as important to them as it used to be. There used to be so much more entertainment, especially in New Orleans. And I know, I think I said that last time too, but they really have, they don't have the college band anymore in the summer.
Yeah.
That's a loss. I really enjoyed seeing them. They brought a lot of energy, especially like to the pre-parade and things. So it's just another cutback, but this also could mean, and I've heard this on other podcasts, that maybe, and it made me think, maybe this has something to do with some announcements they might have at D23 to bring in the e-ticket attraction they've mentioned to Avengers Campus. So it's kind of across from that area they mentioned, but you never know. So maybe there's a connection with
that. Who knows? That's an optimistic take. I mean, it's the entertainment situation tends to go in cycles at the resort. You know, they'll make a big deal about adding a bunch of stuff, and then when they need to save some money, you know, maybe attendance isn't what they thought it would be or whatever. The entertainment's the easiest thing for them to cut. It's not easy for the entertainers, you know, but it's the easiest for the park to cut, because it's not like shutting down it's not like mothballing an attraction or something, you know.
It's just interesting because they've kind of, there's nothing going on in the Hyperion Theater there, which is a great place to see shows. It's been a good place, especially in California Adventure, where there's not a lot of dark rides to kind of get in out of the heat, and the park doesn't have a lot of trees, so it's at least mature trees. So it's just, that's a loss. And then now another show, which was an outdoor type of show, but still another entertainment lost there. So it's just unfortunate. I'm, you know, of course, as a musician, I think of entertainment as something that's very important. And I think it has been since the beginning of the park's days. we do have some comments here
from our chat room.
Chat room. Yeah. Mike Park said, I saw a school band march through when I was there a few weeks ago. He said, of course, they weren't union. Christine said, maybe they need to put more money towards getting the dragon back in Fantasmic.
Oh, that could, that's part of entertainment too, isn't it?
Maybe we need to find a GoFundMe for Disneyland. They seem to be having a lot of financial issues.
Oh, they're strapped. They're strapped for cash. You know, they're just not making much.
Yeah, and that's someone in the chat room, Banana Pudding, said, I was disappointed to hear that the Golden Horseshoe show was closed too. One of my favorites. Yeah, that's another place that they're not utilizing at all. It's just turning into a place to go sit and eat. They used to have you know, of course, the shows there. And then they had musical shows typed like with Billy Hill and the Hillbillies. And then they've had, over the years, they've had other shows where they've had Toy Story type of show there. But then they brought it down to just a piano guy. And even that, I thought that was still entertainment, you know, but they don't even have that now. And right. I haven't seen, and maybe they're taking a break or something, but I have, the last few times I've been, maybe it's just bad timing or the days that I go, but I haven't seen a pianist on at Cook Corner. So What is the deal, Disney?
Wow.
So, yeah, we want explanations for all this.
That's right. You come on this program and explain yourself. Oh, boy. Yeah, those comments are from our chat room. Those are our Patreon supporters. So thank you so much for supporting and joining our chat room. And you too, if you become a Patreon supporter, you can join the chat room. But shall we go on to the next one?
Yep.
All right.
So
a little sad.
This next one is
a little sad.
Yeah.
I have some sad news to cover this time. I'm, you know, unfortunately, it's becoming a regular feature of the show. It's you know, sad news.
So this one's from Brady McDonald, the OC Register, and it's titled Disneyland Employee Killed in Golf Cart Accident, Remembered for Volunteer Work. Club 33 manager Bonnie Lear had volunteered for years in her hometown of Fullerton and had just begun
docenting
at the Nixon Library in Yorba Linda in preparation for retirement when she died in a tragic accident at Disneyland. Lear, 60, of Fullerton, was seriously injured on Wednesday, June 5th, when she fell from a golf cart in the backstage area behind Critter Country. She died from her injuries on Friday, June 7th. Lear was remembered by her Disneyland co-workers as someone who was kind, gentle, caring, thoughtful, sincere, warm, graceful, and full of joy. Her City of Fullerton colleagues echoed the sentiments.
Laughing Place covered the story as well, and if you don't want to access it, the Register, but they elaborated at Laughing Place. They said Anaheim Police and Anaheim Fire and Rescue responded to the scene at 11:30 a.m. on Wednesday, June 5th, and that's where they found Lear. She was transported to a local hospital in grave condition and later died from her injuries. The Anaheim Police detectives are investigating the traffic collision. Apparently, there were multiple stories in the Register about it. I just included the most recent one. Apparently, there's a GoFundMe, the golf carts that run backstage, we've been on those, right?
Yeah, many times.
And you know,
I was gonna just explain. They're kind of used because of the areas backstage. Sometimes it could take a while, and especially if you're going through the park, and sometimes it's easier just to take they'd have these 2, 4, 6 seater, you know, golf cart type vehicles, and you would just drive from one backstage, say over behind like Toontown, all the way to behind Main Street. You could do something like that, or even all the way to like where this was near Critter Country behind Indy. So yeah, there's places you can get to that's quicker, especially if you're carrying things. So that's kind of, you know, I've heard other people comment, why was there golf carts in Disney? You know, so that that's just a cast member backstage thing.
Right.
I don't remember them ever having seatbelts, so I don't know if that's something that
will come into play later. Yeah, it was just kind of sit down and hold on, and you know, they can get a little speedy for their size. But,
so yeah, it's very unfortunate, and
that's very sad. You know, this is not on. This was backstage. You know, it's just it's the kind of thing that could happen anywhere where, you know, if you fall off a golf cart that's going fast enough and your head hits something, you know, unfortunately, that's enough to kill you. And it's very sad, and it's too bad that it happened. And the state's also investigating, by the way. Maybe I'm not sure if it's because it happened at Disneyland. That could be part of it, you know, because the safety, theme park safety is regulated now by the state. But yeah.
Right. Okay.
All right.
Well,
does anyone in the chat room have anything to say? There might have been some of our chat room people who knew this person, you know?
No, there's no comments about that.
It's not the most
upbeat
story.
They've all left. No,
And continuing along the theme of those who have left us, Dusty Sage over at micechat.com had a tribute to Al Lutz, the unyielding guardian of Disney's legacy. I think you and I can talk more about this in a bonus episode. But I will read some of what Dusty Sage had to say. In the vibrant cosmos of Disney enthusiasts, few stars have shone as brightly or as fervently as Al Lutz, the founder of MySage.com and my good friend, business partner, and roommate for the best years of my life. Al's journey came to a poignant end this morning. This was back on June 11th. After a valiant battle with Parkinson's disease, but his spirit, encapsulated in his biting wit and relentless pursuit of excellence for Disney, endures. Today, we not only mourn a monumental loss, but also celebrate a legacy that forever altered the landscape of Disney fandom and critique. Al's tenure as a Disney watchdog was nothing short of remarkable. He was not just a fan, he was a beacon for authenticity, often holding the colossal Disney empire to the standard Walt himself had set for it. Al came from the music industry, where he produced Bippity Boppity Bach and Hi-Ho Mozart, both featuring Dolby Surround, a cool innovation at the time. And if you don't, I have those CDs. If you don't, you're missing out. It's great stuff. But his biggest accomplishment, MySage.com, became more than a platform. It was a pulsing nerve center for insiders, enthusiasts, and critics alike. His in-depth articles, peppered with insider knowledge and a touch of sarcasm, peeled back the curtain of the happiest place on earth, revealing a world that was as complex as it was magical. So, you know, Al Lutz was somebody I interacted with back, you know, mostly in person, when I'd be working or sometimes in as a guest. You know, he was probably Disney's most prominent journalistic critic. And by critic, I don't mean always negative. He did go negative on a lot of things, because the times that he was, when he rose to prominence, there were some serious things to criticize. Time bore that out. You and I can talk more in depth about this on the bonus episode, but, you know, he was one of the earliest, big fan presences online for Disney, you know, as far as Disneyland went, and, started, you know, he helped start Mouse Planet, didn't stay there, just, you know, did Mice Age. And then that, of course, became associated with Mice Chat. And so, you know, had a lot of influence in fan or enthusiast journalism when it comes to the Disney parks. So,
For sure.
So Parkinson's is not, you know, anyone who's dealt with Parkinson's in themselves or friends and family, you know what a terrible thing that is. I spend time, my somebody very, very, very dear to me has a movement disorder, and it's not Parkinson's, but so we spend a lot of time in spaces where there are people with Parkinson's, because it's a movement disorder, you know. But yeah, it's right. it's no good. He was still, he would usually still put out an April Fool's column.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that was the one he would still do, uh-huh. even though he retired from his weekly columns, and they were hilarious. It was April Fool's editions. So, and I can definitely appreciate that. I don't know if anyone in the chat room has anything to say about Al Lutz. I could talk for a lot longer, no. But we're going to save that for the bonus episode. Anything else in the chat room that we should know about?
Well, Patrick said Al Lutz was a pioneer in Disney-related content.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Ask me if I wanted to go in when he started, and you know, he asked a lot of people, but I ended up going with Doobie and Rebecca for Laughing Place. But all right, and well, speaking of Mice Chat, MiceChat.com has its usual Disneyland updates. There's one from Brian Pinsky, Disneyland update: anger ignites amid summer cutbacks and locked magic keys. And as he starts that out, welcome back to the Disneyland Resort. This week brings us a slew of entertainment cuts and changes, the re-locking of magic keys, a big shuffle in Downtown Disney, construction projects, and lots more. And so they start off, he starts off with saying that they suspended the sales of magic keys, which I know he mentioned. And Andy Castro had the June 17th update, Disneyland update, a week of history, change, and envy. And as that starts out, there's always a lot going on at the happiest place on earth, it seems. Mm-hmm. Last week, the debut of Pixar's new Inside Out 2 brought new offerings to Disneyland Resort. In Disneyland, classic attractions turned 65 years old. He's talking about the Matterhorn, the subs, and the monorail. And out on Downtown Disney, walls have come down at Downtown Disney's new Michelin-starred Chinese dim sum restaurant, which we mentioned earlier. And that's not all. Major construction continues in New Orleans Square and Critter Country as the Haunted Mansion's queue expands and Tiana's transformation continues. There's always a lot of pictures with those updates, and if you want to go check them out for yourself, you know, we'll have a link to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time for refurb information and anything else going on in the chat room.
Let's check out the chat room. Michael Parks said, saw Inside Out 2 last night. I really liked it. Very much classic Pixar quality. That's good to know.
Good to know. It's certainly doing well at the box office.
Good. All right. Well, let's do refurb now. And of course, we have the Haunted Mansion, which is still down, possibly returning end of August. Don't have anything announced yet on that. The Disney Gallery has joined forces with the Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln and is down with no return date as far as the calendar goes out, which is to like August 2nd, I believe, as the time of this recording. Redwood Creek Challenge Trail has a return date for July 23rd, which is odd because they usually go down this, you know, later this time of year to prepare for the Oogie Boogie Bash.
Yeah, how long are they going to be open before they're back down again?
Yeah, it's, yeah, I don't understand. Okay, the next thing, July 8th, Davy Crockett's Explorer Canoes go down along with Hungry Bear Restaurant. So, wow, that end of the park is in Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. We'll be down to, or is down currently. So, I haven't heard anything, but some people seem to think that, and it makes sense because if the restaurant's closed, are they going to still have that walkway that takes you to Galaxy's Edge?
Well,
right. So it'll probably just be the two behind Big Thunder Mountain.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Which is fine. Those are two. There's still two entrances to get into it. I don't know when Tiana's Bayou is supposed to open for Disneyland. They haven't announced that yet. I'm sure that's coming soon. At least some sort of announcement on dates. But a lot of people are speculating that possibly early fall, late fall, early winter. Some people think somewhere between the now and the end of the year. So we'll have to see. But yeah, that's all I have for refurbs.
All right. Anything else going in the chat room we should know about? Our Patreon supporters in our chat room. All right.
No.
Well, I thank them for joining us because we do these current event episodes every 2 weeks. We catch you up on what's happening nowadays. And because the other weeks, the alternate weeks, we do a main topic episode, which is often historical, or it's an interview with cast members, former cast members or authors or Imagineers. But it's a main topic. And so we cover the past, present, and the future of the Disneyland Resort. You have to check out our official website, thesweepspot.com. Click through, you'll find some great merchandise, you know, shirts and mugs and things like that. We hope that you will leave a review where you listen to us. Apple Podcasts is a great place to leave a review. Lynn will probably see it. And spread the word, let people know we're here. That our official website is thesweepspot.com. You can get your smart speaker to play us. If you pronounce the podcast just so, tell it to play The Sweep Spot. You gotta sometimes emphasize that P. You can email thesweepspot@gmail.com with your complaints and your compliments and whatever else.
And
your
concerns.
Yes. So,
We always welcome those. Another way to get with us is thesweepspot@gmail.com. That's The Sweep Spot. You can always find us on social media if you search The Sweep Spot. We have a group and a page, so you can join those.
On Facebook, yeah.
And of course, as Patrick says, and use Lynn to book your Disneyland travel.
all your Disney Thank park you, travel. Go with Lynn. Yeah.
That's right. Thank you. All right. Well, thank you so much, everyone in the chat room, and thank you all for listening. And we'll talk with you next time.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton for the stay.
Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.
My name is Nicole Kidman, and I've wanted to do a rom-com for so long, and along came A Family Affair. It's a great romantic comedy, and it's laugh out loud. If you feel like, I just need to curl up and watch something that feels very comforting, it's the Netflix experience. There's laughter and there's joy. That's A Family Affair.
A Family Affair, starring Nicole Kidman, Zac Efron, and Joey King. Directed by Richard LeGravenaise. Rated PG-13. Sexual content, partial nudity, and some strong language. Now playing only on Netflix.